Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide. Race talks, candid conversation, gutsy guests, and taboo topics that are real, edgy, provocative, and oh, so necessary. Because women won't save the world until they heal and save themselves. Catrice M. Jackson is on a mission to transform the world by having courageous conversations that matter in order to make a difference in the lives of women around the globe. Thanks for tuning in to She Talks, We Talk, eliminating clicks, catfights, and colorblindness among women, one talk at a time. Gender, race, feminism, social and racial justice, truth talk to help women walk their talk. To transform the world. Get ready for your weekly wake-up call. And now, your host, Catrice M. Jackson, global visionary leader of the Awaken Conscious Shift, an international speaker and best-selling author.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to She Talks, We Talk Radio. We are so glad that you are with us today, and we are excited about the show that we are going to have this morning for you. So welcome to She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide to eliminate clicks, catfights, and colorblindness. We're so glad that you tuned in to the show today, and we are going to be talking about something that is going to be very helpful for women who are definitely interested in doing racial justice work. This platform is dedicated to race talks, candid conversations, gutsy guests, and taboo topics that are real, edgy, provocative, and oh so necessary. Because I believe that women will not save the world until they heal and save themselves. And I'm on a mission to transform the world by having courageous conversations that matter in order to make a difference in the lives of women around the globe. So we talk about gender, race, feminism, social and racial justice, and it's uncut and unapologetic. We speak truth for transformation. So thanks for tuning in for your weekly wake-up call, She Talks, We Talk. So last week, I talked a little bit about antagonism and how oftentimes white women in particular do not realize that they are antagonizing the very women of color that they say that they love, they adore, they admire, they respect, and that they serve. And I shared seven behaviors on how you can begin to see exactly how you may be intentionally or unintentionally antagonizing the very women that you want to empower, the women that are in your family, your colleagues and your friends. So I hope that you go back and listen to the archived show for that, because we are basing this series on my new book, Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies. So, of course, this week we're going to be talking about the role of the advocate and how the advocate shows up in the line of work related to racial justice work. So advocacy for social causes is generally a good thing, but it's not so good when it comes to fighting racial injustice. Advocacy means that you are sitting on the fence, and while you are sitting on the fence, deciding if you're going to speak up, deciding if you're going to raise your voice, deciding if you're going to step out and lean in and be active when it comes to fighting racism, what happens when you sit on the fence and don't decide to take action? Nothing really happens for you other than maybe some discomfort on the inside. You're maybe feeling, you know, a little anxiety because deep down inside you know you should do something, you know you should say something, but you don't. But what really happens is that lives are being lost. And we can look out into the world today and we can look at some very particular things that are happening here in the United States related to race issues. And yesterday I posted something that said, where are the white women? Where are the white women leaders? Where are the white women feminists? Where are the white women champions who claim that they are about empowering women and that they are feminists? Where are they? Where are they? Why aren't they speaking up? Why aren't they coming forward? And a lot of times I believe that those folks happen to be in that advocacy realm. They know racism exists. They want to talk about it. They don't know what to say. They're afraid to make mistakes, so they sit on the fence. And what I know happens for sure is when you sit on the fence, collateral damage is created. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about on today's show. So I'm excited to finally have a ear-to-ear, voice-to-voice conversation with a friend of mine, Louise Eddington, who at one point was sitting in this advocacy role and sitting on the fence and decided to take the leap of faith, fear and all, and jump off that fence and become active in being a voice for racial injustice. So a little bit about Louise before I bring her on. She is with Cosmic Blueprint, and she talks about shooting for the stars. So she's an astrologer, so, you know, that's interesting to me already. But Louise says that she helps people move past all that they may see and all that they may be thinking that they are experiencing in their life to get to that place to know that you are absolutely whole and perfect. She guides people to accept all of who they are, the amazing, powerful bits, the naughty bits, the not-so-pleasant bits. And then she guides people on this evolutionary purpose of their soul. And so she helps people learn to see themselves truly and to see their full potential and to see the true beauty of who they are based on their cosmic blueprint. Louise also cares a lot about equality, and it doesn't matter, black, white, gay, straight, male, female. She doesn't care who you are. If you're a person, she says that she will fight for you to have equal rights. So I'm excited to bring Louise on the show so we can go ahead and get this conversation started. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Catrice. It's lovely to be here and great to speak to you in person at last.
Yes, yes, I'm excited about what we're going to dialogue about today. So, you know, I just would love for you to maybe start off by sharing a little bit about why you care so much about equality and, in particular, why racism?
Okay, well, clearly I'm not from here originally. Okay, so I grew up in the UK. And I grew up in a very, I mean, I'm whiter than white. My family is whiter than white, you know, and I grew up in a very white area. And we moved to Northern Ireland for a while, and I saw a lot of religious injustice there. But my first real encounter with pure racism in my life was when we moved back to England. And I went out to a club with some friends, and I ended up dancing and kissing this really lovely black guy who was a great guy. And the next morning I got a phone call from a member of my family saying that we don't do that in our family. You were seen with a black man. And, you know, to my shame, I didn't see him again because it frightened me what reaction I was going to get within my family. But I didn't get it. I didn't get why people could feel that way. And but, you know, I've sat by for many, many years and said nothing when all this kind of racist talk was going on. And when I moved here to the US with my family, you know, I started to see all this injustice here. Obviously, I knew about slavery, and I studied American history at college, so I knew about all this stuff. But I'd never heard of the term white privilege, and I began to see all this racial injustice when I was a nanny in Connecticut for a while, I had a lot of black friends, and I saw for myself that their how they were treated was different, and how they lived was often different, you know, a lot poorer. And I just couldn't understand why this had to be. But it was a long path to changing, you know, to learning how to stand up for people, as you know, because I know you've helped me along the way.
Yes. So, you know, I know that it happens, and I know that there are white women out there who are standing up and speaking out, but there's certainly, I believe at this point, not enough white women, you know, really taking the charge and being committed, mm-hmm. you know, and willing to risk, you know, friendships mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe even business or opportunities to you know, put their voice forward. So you talked a little bit about me kind of helping you along a little bit. When you look at being an advocate, as you know it, based on my book, in racial justice, what does that look like for you so that people can understand that?
Yeah. Well, you know, as I grew more angry about racial injustice, you know, I would share things, you know, about like Eric Garner and all these kind of blog posts and things. But if people confronted me, I would shrink. I would block people. I wouldn't answer. I would make excuses for them if they were friends. You know, I would just really not really stand up, you know. And I did have all, and I still do, I admit it, have all those fears. I'm in business for myself, and I know it pisses some people off. I know it's going to piss off some people in my family and where I grew up, and I know it pisses off some friends. I've now lost many so-called friends over it. I mean, they were mainly just Facebook contacts, but, you know, it's kind of scary when you do that, because you know, it might affect your business, but then I came to the conclusion that I don't want to work with people like that anyway. So, mm-hmm, you know, so that's a good point. And your book really kind of opened my eyes about where I was sitting on the fence and where I was not recognizing my own white privilege. I've really deepened my understanding of that. I'm not saying that I'm there yet, because I know I still have the privilege of switching it off and going away when it all gets too much. And you know, and I admit that I do sometimes, because some days I'm just worn out by fighting with people, you know, about racial equality and sexual equality. I fight for that also. And it can get tiring. So now I have some understanding from your book about how tiring it must be to live it every single day. So mm-hmm. That's the biggest takeaway I think I've got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so because of that white privilege, you can decide at any point, you know what, this is too much. It's too heavy. Yeah. I can't do it. I don't want to lose any more friends or family, and so I'm just not going to talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can.
Yet people of color, so you know,
I've not stayed on the battlefield.
Yeah,
they do. So I'm not deciding not to talk about it anymore.
You've committed to having the conversation no matter what.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
So Louise, what advice would you give to other white women who will listen to this, who are sitting on the fence? They know it's wrong. They see mm-hmm. it. They want to speak out, but they're afraid. What should they do?
Well, they should buy your book. Because you just go into such detail about even, you know, the smallest things that we do that we don't realize we're doing as advocates. You know, it's defining racism, as you said, as people who are bad with conscious hate and dislike. you know, that's racism, sure, but there's much more subtle forms of racism, and there's a victim blaming as well. I had somebody who I thought was a bit of an activist comment yesterday when I shared the video that was released yesterday of the shooting of Lacan McDonald, if that's how I say his name, I'm not sure. And somebody said, well, why didn't he just get down on his front, you know, and when he's surrounded by cop cars? And you hear that all the time. Why didn't they just shut up and do as they were told? Why didn't they just do this? And I stood up for it for a change. But people do this kind of unconsciously. And so that's one of the things that I've learned. And stop wondering why black women in particular get very angry, because I now see that, yes, black men are getting shot, but Sandra Bland, of course, got killed also. And I see, you know, the hierarchy. You know, we have the white male, we have then the white women, then the black male, then the black female, who kind of really in society is the bottom of the pile. And people just don't see it. And we get defensive. I've been defensive too, you know, about being challenged about my views. But now I'm kind of more willing to be called off my shit, you know. And I might feel a little bit hurt, but I'm not going to run away from it anymore. But this is kind of what we need to do. Be willing to stop being offended and stop being hurt and stop going, oh, but I mean well, kind of thing, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah. Right, right. So I talk a lot about...
I could go on all day, really.
Oh, yeah, this is more than a 30-minute show for sure. So I talk a lot in the book about when you stand in the role of being an advocate, that there's a lot of collateral damage that's created. So we have this white person who really wants to fight racial injustice, and they're on the fence, and they're behaving like and taking the stance of an advocate. So they're sometimes fighting, sometimes not, sometimes standing up, sometimes not. And there's some collateral damage that happens when people are on the fence. And I recall a time on Facebook where you and I were both in a thread, and there was collateral damage happening all over the place. And we had a message conversation behind the scenes about it. And that is a very dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be, because while you mean well, you may be harming people of color in the process, creating that collateral damage. So what would you say about the collateral damage that happens when people are standing on the fence?
Well, you know, if you claim to have all these friends who are people of color, and then when you think you're standing up for them and they're witnessing it, and then you back off and kind of let people get away with their comments or don't challenge people on their comments, it's just really hurtful. I think it's almost worse than being directly racist personally now, but you've kind of opened my eyes to that. You know, it's just, it has to be challenged in every forum if you want to be an ally, and everywhere. And also, one of the things I did, and I will own to it, is I kind of tagged you and a couple of others of my black female friends to help me in support. And really, I didn't need it. I was just shrinking and thinking somebody else can do it. And that isn't fair either. That's collateral damage, to expect you to come in and speak for yourself when I should be speaking for against the racial injustice, because I have the privilege to fight it.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? There's so much more collateral damage that can happen in these race talks. And so this show is really about you know, encouraging white women who want to speak out about racial injustice to just make the commitment to get off the fence and take the leap and to do the work, because being an advocate is a very dangerous place to be. You know, it's kind of like saying, you know what, I'm going to go to war with you. I'm going to fight this, you know, this physical battle. And then when it's time to fight, you're on the battlefield fighting, and they haven't even put on their gear yet. They are behind the scenes deciding if they're going to get out there and fight with you. And you're out there, you know, being wounded and taken down and being tired and overwhelmed. And you're looking to your friend, your colleague, the person who said, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you. You're my friend. And you're looking like, well, where are you? Why aren't you showing up for me? And that's pretty profound when our so-called quote-unquote friends don't show up for us. And one of the big things that I think happens with being an advocate is silence. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to take a short break, Louise, and I want you to think about the power of silence and the collateral damage that happens when white women are silent, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Listen up, ladies, leaders, mentors, coaches, and bosses. So, you say you support and empower all women? Do you really? Are you intentionally and unintentionally offending and excluding the very women you say you serve and support or want to serve? Do you realize that you may be tarnishing your brand because you're not walking your talk? Clicks, catfights, and colorblindness is super bad for your business and your brand. But there's something you can do about it. It's time for you to experience an awakened conscious shift and learn how to consciously increase your reach, impact, and influence. The Awakened Conscious Shift provides female leaders and women entrepreneurs with evolutionary awakened consciousness way of living, working, collaborating, and creating exclusive female communities where all women belong and thrive. The Awakened Conscious Shift offers She Talks, We Talk Circles, We Talk Wake Up Call, the We Well for Women of Color, professional leadership, development and coaching, socially conscious branding and marketing solutions, and social consciousness, organizational training and consulting. Just because you didn't mean to offend or exclude is no excuse. Get the coaching, mentoring, and training you need to strengthen your business reputation and protect your brand. Get more information. Contact Catrice today at www.awakenconsciousshift.com. And now, back to She Talks, We Talk, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide.
Welcome to She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide, where we are on a mission to eliminate cliques, catfights, and color blindness among women one talk at a time. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show, and we're just coming back from a quick commercial break. And if you want to be on the show, you have a question, you want to call in and chat with Louise and I, you can do that by calling in at 917-889-3234. So today we've been talking about a segment of my book, Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies. And today we're specifically talking about the role of being an advocate and what happens when you are in that advocate role and the collateral damage that it creates within those relationships between white women and women of color. And so one of the big things that happens when you're an advocate is that there's often silence. White women are often not speaking up. They don't know what to say. They're quiet. They're on the sidelines. And I think there are a lot of white women out there who want to speak up, but they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They don't want to offend. They, you know, they don't want to lose friends. They're just kind of paralyzed in place. So before the break, I asked Louise to think about and then come back and share with us what that silence is, why it happens, and how can white women begin to break the silence? So, Louise, what'd you come up with?
Okay, well, silence means so much to me now, and it's meaning more every day. So, you know, we stay silent, I believe, because we think we don't know enough to talk about it. We think we shouldn't speak for people of color. There's a lot of reasons why fears and limiting beliefs that hold us back from speaking up. I actually started to read, just before we came on, that article you published on your Facebook page today by the Greenpeace person, mm-hmm. and she realized she wasn't speaking up. I thought, yes, yes, yes. But also silence to me is not listening, not sitting down and shutting up, as was it Shelby Knox said? And witnessing what's going on and becoming aware of really what's going on, of all the little microaggressions and everything that happens, and speaking up about all of this as well, and just taking responsibility that we have the power, and it doesn't have to be perfect first. You know, it's a path of learning. That's why I posted when I shared the show this morning that I'm on the journey to becoming an ally, because, you know, I still know I don't get it completely. And in some ways, I still know I will never get it completely because my skin isn't black. But that doesn't mean I can't tap into my white privilege and stand up and speak against racism and racial injustice.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought up the point about being quiet and listening. It always amazes me how white people and white women in particular take the stance of knowing more about racism than I do, as the person who experiences it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? You're going to teach me about that? So I think being quiet and just listening and bearing witness and hearing the stories and seeking to understand before being understood is a very powerful thing. But definitely, mm-hmm. Louise, we need more white women to be speaking up, standing up, and leading the charge. And I think one of the things that's going to help that happen is the evolution of more white allies mm-hmm. coming forth and saying, you know what, let's do this. You have to speak up. Mm-hmm. It's time to get involved.
So my aim now, I mean, you know, I live in a very white state. Anyway, we have a lot of Hispanics and Samoans, but we don't have many black people. And so most of mine is really on Facebook because, you know, I can't get out on the streets of Ferguson to support anybody. But my aim really with my shares and my speaking out is really to the other white people, really, say, see this, see what's going on, see what can we do about it. That's mm-hmm. what my aim is now. And I realize that it's not just going, oh, look how shit this is. It's actually to try and wake people up to what's going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, yeah. Awareness is definitely the first step. You can't make any change unless you're aware that there's a problem. And so, mm-hmm. you know, my charge to, you know, white women listening in today is that if you're not talking about racism, if you're not speaking up, if you're not engaging in the conversation, if you're not, mm-hmm. you know, participating in race talks, then you are part of the problem and not part of the solution. And, you know, that may be a hard pill to swallow, but it's absolutely the truth. And you know what, Louise, we could go on, and there's more conversation to be had, but I just want to say thank you for for being a guest on the show today, and I appreciate you being on the journey to becoming an ally, so thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that is our episode of She Talks, We Talk Radio. I hope that you have enjoyed this segment. And we're going to be closing out this show. I hope you'll come back and listen to next week's show, where we'll be talking about allyship and how you can become an ally in the fight against racial injustice. So join me next week for She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide. And until next time, put your big girl panties on and start a conversation that matters so that you can start walking your talk.
Boom! There you have it. Another courageous conversation that matters to eliminate color blindness, cultivate racial harmony, and unify women. Love it or hate it, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep talking until women start walking. Catrice is taking She Talks, We Talk message movement and mission on the road. Want to host a live She Talks, We Talk circle in your city? Contact Catrice and make it happen. Want to be a guest on the show? Got a topic you want to discuss? Submit your request to www.shetalkswetalk.com. Are you ready to speak your voice, get involved, take action, and make a difference? Learn how. Contact Catrice at www.awakenconsciousshift.com or www.shetalkswetalk.com. Join us next time for She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide. Until next time, put on your big girl pants and start a courageous conversation that matters and start walking your talk.